The next topic we're going to cover, Rob Kibbe is going to talk to us about purchase price adjustments, which are also, thanks to rep and warranty insurance, getting a lot more focus these days.
Yeah, I'm just seeing it a lot more. It'd be interesting to take a poll. We're not going to, but to see if practitioners in the room are seeing a lot more purchase price adjustment claims out there. I'm personally seeing a lot more of them. There's quite a bit of litigations and claims around that. We're starting to see cases in court, and so we're able to distill these principles that we're seeing in these cases to better provisions in M&A agreements. Well, why is that? You can flip the slide. Generally accepted accounting principles are just that. They're principles. They're not hard and fast rules. There's a lot of gray in generally accepted accounting principles, and you often end up with a situation where you've got buyer's gap and seller's gap, and never the twain shall meet. And this can be especially difficult in the area of the market that I focus on, in the middle market, where you've got typically a large buyer or a large strategic or a private equity firm, and then you've got a much smaller, relatively speaking, seller whose accounting practices, shall we say, are relatively immature. And so in that instance, you know, they're willing to kind of cut corners on the accounting. When you've got buyers, certainly if you're a public company, there's no corners being cut there. And so, I see this often in that scenario. So what are you supposed to do after the closing if the buyer looks at the numbers and says they don't comply with GAAP? Is that the proper province of the purchase price adjustment in the acquisition agreement to resolve that, or is the proper province to be as a breach of a rep and through the indemnification provisions, matters greatly. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So typical hotspots I've seen just personally involve judgment calls. Things where you are in a gray area. So reserves, what should this reserve for a loss be? Revenue recognition, particularly important in technology software type companies or construction companies when you've got this complicated accounting. State taxes, where you can take different positions about whether or not a company needs to be paying state taxes in one jurisdiction or another. Why does it matter? Focusing on the importance. Purchase price adjustments can be substantial, and in my experience of having dealt with some of them that are. There's also a tendency to view purchase price adjustments as the province of the accountants. Well, that's something that, you know, it's defined by generally accepted accounting principles. We're going to really let the accountants deal with that. But, you know, that intends, a lot of times lawyers don't intend to pay as much attention to those clauses. Negative purchase price adjustments are also not covered by reps and warranties insurance. Very, very important. If you're a seller and you don't want post-closing exposure there. Another point to make is that a large indemnification claim that is effectively satisfied through the purchase process, a purchase price adjustment process, preserves reps and warranties insurance and indemnification caps. So if the buyer can shoehorn an indemnification claim into a purchase price adjustment claim, they can preserve the cap or reps and warranties insurance on the back end. Purchase price adjustment disputes are normally adjudicated by a CPA, typically not a court, and so that can create some issues. I've seen some situations where CPAs bring a lot to the table, a lot good to the table, but they also bring some baggage about the way these provisions ought to work, and a lot of times they read in to a purchase price adjustment clause language that frankly just isn't there. Negative purchase price adjustments are typically uncapped. I mean, in auction deals, you can see them capped and limited. But unlike breaches of reps and warranties, again, you can have some significant exposure. Which leads me to the next slide. I want to talk about Chicago Bridge, which perfectly highlights this particular issue. In that case, there was a $2 billion negative purchase price adjustment, and it was based largely on buyer's complaint that the seller's financials were not GAAP compliant. Only issue is they didn't have a remedy under the purchase agreement for a breach of a rep and warranty. And so they had to bring it as a negative post-closing purchase price adjustment claim. What did the court do? The court held that the negative purchase price adjustment was not available to remedy effectively what was a breach of a rep and warranty in the other part of the agreement. So they were denied in that case. So practice points, what should you do? I am a big fan, we're seeing this more frequently, is use a separate escrow for purchase price adjustments, dedicated for that alone. I'm also a fan of defining gap and gap exceptions with some degree of specificity, and then if necessary, and a lot of times I'll have the CPA take a look at it and have a conversation with them so that it's clear, what are we talking about? We talk about gap, and so if there's some of these judgment calls, they get locked down. Attach a purchase price adjustment template with actual line items so that the seller can follow that after, you know, at the closing, and the buyer follows it on when they do their true up. And then clarify the interplay between the purchase price adjustment and indemnification provisions. You'll flip the slide. There's some language on the screen. Don't want to go line by line, but just focus on the bold-faced, italicized language.